From Michigan Radio and the Detroit Journalism Cooperative, I'm Lester Graham. Politicians and media reports indicate Detroit is in the middle of an economic resurgence. That's true for the central business districts. That's not the case for many residents in the poorest neighborhoods.
Some people just don't have the hope. And especially living in an environment like this, it's kind of hard. It's very stressful.
Many residents are trapped in poverty because they cannot get past obstacles such as getting the training they need for work and transportation to jobs. A government survey recently showed 57% of Detroit children live in poverty. 39% of all households are impoverished. But some neighborhoods are worse than others. The most impoverished census tract in the city is in the Chandler Park area on the city's east side. While Detroit's downtown has been booming, this section of town has seen increased poverty. Recent data posted by Detroitography shows since 2000, the area has seen one of the largest increases in racially concentrated poverty. Loveland Technology data show of the 292 homes and lots, only 23 are privately owned. The rest are held by the city, the county, the land bank, or the federal government. Alita Burton lives in a federally subsidized housing project there called Parkside. She says getting a job in Detroit is difficult.
Because majority of all the jobs are taken by individuals that stay in different cities, which knocks you out of the competition. And you have to have previous experience in a specific job.
She's got a part-time job, the best she's been able to find as of yet, to support her and her 9-year-old son. She's among the more fortunate in Detroit. She's got a car.
Barely. The car is raggedy. I just be praying to keep it rolling. keep it going.
But even with a car, auto insurance is a major obstacle.
For no fault, I had paid $500 for no fault for only 7 days coverage. That's just for 7 days.
It's a problem for a lot of people living in Detroit. I met Walter Brown at a Chandler Park Neighbors and Partners Association meeting. He says one of his adult daughters is living with him.
She's been in and out of jobs, you know, basically because she don't have transportation. She can't afford insurance. And I think that would cut down on a lot of young people being able to find a job if they don't have the transportation method to get there.
And public transportation, the bus, is often not a solution. Many employers won't hire people who depend on public transportation because they feel it's not reliable. That means for many people, options for work are limited to nearby retail stores. Brown says that's not enough.
I mean, these little jobs at the restaurants and little party stores, single mom is, you know, it's hard, very difficult for her to, you know, make a living off of that and raise her kids.
And for people who live in Parkside public housing, there's another obstacle. Zachary Rowe heads up Friends of Parkside. He says even though there's a strip mall right across the street, residents have a difficult time getting a job in any of the stores.
One has to do with sort of the stigma or the perception of people that live in Parkside as local businesses view them. You would think it would be an advantage or a benefit to say you live in Parkside because you don't have those transportation issues. But in some cases, it's actually a negative just because of how residents are perceived.
Since downtown is booming, you might think these residents would be headed there for work. Kevin Boyle is an author and a history professor at Northwestern University. He grew up in Detroit. He says there are few opportunities for Detroit residents in downtown.
Because what the downtown is doing is it's creating jobs that poor people aren't going to get. It's creating high-tech jobs in a city that, by at least one estimate that I've seen, says 47% of the adults in the city of Detroit are functionally illiterate. Now, that's not going to translate into high-tech jobs downtown.
A construction company owner who lives near Chandler Park says he hires young Detroit workers, but he finds some of them can barely read or solve math problems on the job. Zachary Rowe with Friends of Parkside says he's sometimes experienced the same problem with kids who went to both Detroit public schools and charter schools.
We have some youth workers that work with us during the summer, and they're between ages of 14 and 24. And I'm sort of surprised when it comes to some of the students having trouble doing basic math problems.
But one researcher says downtown's recent prosperity could still mean jobs for people who don't have high-tech skills. Reynolds Farley is a research professor emeritus at the University of Michigan.
As more people work in downtown Detroit, they're going to need a lot of services. Lunchtime and, you know, there's going to be security services. There is some amount of jobs that don't require an advanced education that will be generated by more employment in Detroit.
For people who live in Chandler Park area, downtown is more than 7 miles away. That means transportation is again a problem. Kevin Boyle at Northwestern says it's good that Detroit's downtown areas are doing better, but until all of Detroit can share in the newfound prosperity, too many are being left behind.
And that's what you're seeing inside the city of Detroit today. You're seeing to a really dramatic extent an economic revival in the city of Detroit that is not completely white, but is white dominated, and a dramatic level of poverty and inequality for large numbers of African Americans who live in the city.
Boyle says Detroit must find solutions for transportation, work skills training, and other obstacles to residents and the neighborhoods. Until they're able to get good-paying jobs, Boyle says there's very little to celebrate. With the Detroit Journalism Cooperative, I'm Lester Graham, Michigan Radio News.
Support for the Detroit Journalism Cooperative on Michigan Radio comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, Renaissance Journalism's Michigan Reporting Initiative, the Ford Foundation, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.